This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
My name is Brandon LeBron, and I'm interviewing Sean in New York City. The date is the 16th of May, 2022. Do you give me permission to record and make this oral history public?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Reminder, you do not have to answer any questions you are not comfortable with.
Alrighty.
Please give me your full name.
My name is Sean Rich.
Age?
33.
Occupation?
I am a live-in son, if you will.
Okay. Neighborhood?
I live in Williamsburg, New York City.
Okay. And where are you and your family originally from?
We are from County Cork in Ireland.
Okay. First language?
We speak English.
Okay. Ethnic identity?
White.
Gender identity?
Male.
Sexual orientation?
Straight.
Okay. Are you and your family from NYC?
No, we are not.
Okay. How did you end up in NYC?
Well, my parents, after they retired, they had this whole bucket list that they wanted to deal with and places that they wanted to go, things they wanted to see. And one of the last things on the list was New York City. They moved here a few years ago, or came over here a few years ago, should I say, rather, and they enjoyed it so much that they ended up just staying, you know. And I ended up being moved over here about 16 months ago to take care of my parents. As they've gotten older, things have become more difficult for them, and so just want to make sure that they're taken care of.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds amazing. Again, I just want to remind you, you don't have to answer anything that makes you uncomfortable.
Alrighty.
How do you get around the city?
I make a lot of use out of the public transit, the subway system mostly.
Okay. Can you describe your experience with the transportation system in New York?
Absolutely. It's very busy. It's very cram-packed, very tight. I would actually reference it to a can of sardines on many occasions. But overall, it's just not a poor experience at all.
Okay. Do you feel safe in New York City's public transportation system? Why or why not?
Absolutely. I've got to say that for the most part, I feel pretty safe. When you're crammed up in a big group of people, you know, it does tend to make crime by proxy just go down a little bit, or at least it in my experience from what I've seen. I'm sure there's still plenty of petty crimes going on, you know, whether it be pickpocketing or what have you, but at the end of the day, I still have to say that I feel pretty safe.
Wonderful. Okay. Do you have any wild stories from being on public transportation?
Nothing too wild. You know, just get on. You go down to these subways late at night sometimes, and you know, you might see someone a little bit strung out. You know, just. Right. going through a trip and just going through life, you know. But nothing too crazy. No.
Okay. Do you feel safe in your community?
I do. I feel pretty safe in my community, I've got to say.
What would or does make your community safe?
There seems to be a pretty good sense of community, and by that I mean community watch without there having to be one appointed. You know, my parents go somewhere, if somebody shows up at the house, somebody's calling them, you know, hey, so-and-so's at your door, or so-and-so's you know, peeping around through your windows, just want you to be aware of it, and, you know, vice versa, same thing goes for them. You know, if their neighbors are stepped out or, you know, going on vacation for any amount of time, you know, same thing applies. My parents are in contact with them. You know, they kind of contact each other if they're going to be gone for any amount of time in length anyway. Hey, so-and-so's going to be coming to my house for such and such reasons. But they're the only people that you should see there. So if you see anything kind of out of the ordinary, you know, something's not right.
Wonderful. I wish my neighborhood was like that. How does law enforcement fit into your vision of safety in New York City?
So I feel like safety in terms of law enforcement is a very subjective matter. Very much based off of, you know, one's own personal ideologies and beliefs. To me, what makes law enforcement and safety go hand in hand is seeing presence of law enforcement. You don't want to see too little. You don't want to see too much. You know, just seeing that amount that just feels right to you. You know, seeing that they're out there doing their jobs. They're not, you know, letting their badge carry a huge weight on their shoulder and take advantage of their position and their station.
Right. Okay. How does concern for safety in your community shift how that community functions?
Honestly, I mean, there's only ever really been nothing but safety and rather a lack of concern for it just because of how safe it tends to just feel. I mean, you know, neighborhood riffraff as is, you know, that's going to be everywhere. And there's nothing you can do to prevent all of that. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things you have to take in stride. So overall, can't really say that there's been a concern for it.
Okay. What is it like living in a city that has people from all over the world?
You know, I can imagine for most people it might be overwhelming to an extent, or maybe even spectacular. But Ireland is known for being a cultural melting pot. You name it, we've got it. So as far as cultural diversity is concerned, it's, you know, it's no different to me than what I'm already used to.
Okay. How have you benefited from New York City's diversity?
So as far as how I've benefited from it, you might be surprised to find out that the world really is small after all. You know, you get to walking around, you get to talking to people, you get to meeting new people, and, you know, you think, well, I've just moved to a completely different, not just a town, not just a country, but rather, I'm sorry, I misspoke there, not just a town or a county, but rather a whole country. You know, we're more than just miles apart, and then, you know, next thing you know, you're walking into your local store and, well, there's somebody that, you know, you might have grown up with, you know, years and years ago that's also moved over here, or somebody that's from where you're from. It's interesting.
Would you consider New York City generally and your neighborhood specifically to be racially segregated, meaning not diverse? Why or why not?
Well, it's kind of hard to say no to that question just due to the gentrification here. I think that the biggest diversity here is more along the lines of religion and race. And maybe that's part of what's impacting the gentrification here so much.
What have been your experiences in, I mean, with the New York City public education system as a student, parent, and or observer?
I can honestly say that I've had no experience with it personally. As I said, it was my parents that moved here, and then I, as an adult, moved here with them. So I've had no experience with the education department here.
Okay. All right. So how well do you know your neighborhoods and the people in your community?
I'd say that I know enough to feel like I can say that I know my neighborhood. I know enough to say that I feel like I know my community. I mean, obviously, I don't know everything about what's going on in people's personal lives, but there's such a sense of being around here that it just feels right. It's hard for me to explain that. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Please repeat that.
Okay. It's kind of hard for me to answer that question. I'm having a difficult time finding the right words for it.
Okay, so we can move on to the next.
Okay.
What public support systems have you experienced in your community?
I can honestly say that I haven't had the need to utilize or even reach out to any of the public support. So I can't really give an opinion on that one.
Okay. So no deliveries to the house for groceries for your parents, nothing like that?
It's not been needed. Not to say that I don't believe that it would happen should the need arise. But for my parents personally, no. That's more or less one of the many jobs that I have to tackle on a regular basis.
Okay. All right. Moving on to the next question. If you don't mind, could you grab a pen and paper?
Absolutely. All right.
What does good housing mean to you? And please write these down. In terms of neighborhood, space in the apartment, public spaces and area, food and area, safety, and transportation.
That's neighborhood, space and apartment, food, transit, and safety?
Yes.
All right. So I feel like all of these things have their own place. For each one to exist, I feel like it's all very important. Good housing is obviously important. You don't want to have people living in a place that's not fit to be living in. You know, you don't want to have your roof leaking every time it rains. You don't want to have to worry about your bathroom flooding every time you flush the toilet. You don't want to have to worry about your sink pipes busting every time you run the faucet. You don't want to fall through the floor while you're walking on the floor. You know, so just, you know, that's obviously something that I feel like probably everyone looks for. Space and apartment is equally important, especially for me, where I come from. I'm used to having a lot of land. You know, it's not as stacked up as New York is, for sure. So the space in my apartment is very important. Kind of helps me avoid that claustrophobic feeling sometimes. Food availability, right? availability is key. If you don't have readily accessible food, then I feel like that kind of drives the locale down. So that's, it's important. Same thing with transit. Whether it be things such as Uber or public trains or cabs, you've got to have a place to get from point A to point B on a day-to-day basis, whether it be for work or grocery shopping or just going out and hanging out with your friends for the day. Safety, obviously that's important too, because you need to feel safe whenever you're out and about. You don't want to feel like at any point in time you're going to be attacked, or you're going to be having some kind of crime committed against you.
Right. Understand. Okay. Have you ever been worried about not being able to afford the rent?
No, that's never been a concern that has arisen or would appear to arise anytime soon.
Okay. What have been the impacts of gentrification and community dislocation on your neighborhood?
I mean, the biggest impacts that you see is people that have lived in a place, for any amount of time. It hurts your heart to see them being forced, driven away, more or less being made to leave a place without the option, just because of, whether it be financial status or by color or by race, not race, but religion, rather. It's always a shame to see stuff like that happen. And, I understand that it's important for growth to happen. It's important for development to happen. You look at a place like this, if my history is correct here, this is a place that had a rough history. Started off with a lot of gang violence, drugs, just not necessarily the best place to be in, just from what I'm to understand. And now you look at where we are now, and it's, I don't like to use the term clean, right? But it's the best word that comes to mind.
Right. I'm sorry, can you still hear me?
I can. Absolutely.
Okay,
I can.
Great. All right. How do you feel about the homelessness crisis in New York City?
Homeless crisis in New York City? Well, homelessness is a shame, right? It hurts your heart. If you have any degree of empathy, it hurts your heart to see, someone having to live in their vehicle, someone having to live in a homeless shelter, someone having to sleep wherever they pass out for the night. It's not a good place to be, regardless of the circumstance of how, that it becomes irrelevant. It's not something that you just want to see. It hurts your heart, and that's really the best way that I can say it. And I know I'm being redundant on that, but that's my opinion on it for sure.
Okay, what do you see as the cause of it?
It's hard to determine cause when it comes to homelessness, because you've got to consider the initial cause, the why, the how they became homeless, why they became homeless. Were they strung out addicts that ran through all of their money on drugs? Were they veterans that, were discharged from the military and just couldn't find a place in the civilian world because they couldn't adapt? Was it because they lost their job, due to one reason or another? Or even, as we were previously discussing, the gentrification. There's so many causes as to why. So I feel like the biggest thing that we have to look at is the here, the now. What is continuing to keep them to be homeless? I feel like, you know, a lot of it has to come down to personal appearance, personal hygiene. You know, you take somebody that's been living on the street for 4, 5, 6 months, 2, 3 years, you know, they don't have the ability to get haircuts. They don't have the ability to have their facial hair touched up. They don't have acceptable clothing. They don't have the best access to bathe themselves. How are they supposed to stand any chance in today's world of getting a job? How are they supposed to be able to pull themselves out of that hole? And I think that's something that should be focused on as well.
Okay. Let me rephrase that. What should society and the government do to curb the crisis?
I can't really say that I feel like this is something that should be weighted on the shoulders of the government. That's not to say that the government can't have a place in it. I just don't feel like it should. I don't feel like it should have to be weighed on the government. I feel like as a community, you should want to see people doing better for themselves. I mean, obviously there's some people that just don't want help and they won't accept help. And, you know, that's a whole different case, a whole different conversation for a whole different time. But as far as for people that are looking for help, that are actually trying to find a way, a method to better themselves and get themselves out of this situation that they've found themselves in for one reason or another, I feel like, you know, anything from building more shelters, having public baths, if you will, something like that accessible for hygiene, you know, having a limited donation from, you know, things, retail stores that are, you know, accepting second wear hand-me-down clothes, barbershops maybe giving homeless people a quick touch-up maybe once every month or two, you know, something to make it to where, you know, if I'm homeless, I can wake up tomorrow with a plan and a mission and be able to move forward and execute it. I can go register at a shelter. I can go to the thrift store. I can get some clothes that look at least halfway acceptable. I can go to the barbershop. I can get a touch-up. And then I can walk into a place of business and not be having to worry about, am I repulsive right now? Is this going to affect me getting a job here? Make it to where if I'm a business person, am I going to look at this person and want to consider hiring them? I feel like it's very important because it removes the excuse at that point. I feel like to me, for so many homeless people, because it seems like a lot of them, they either don't want to, or they don't have the access to. And so whenever you give them the access, then the only thing that's left to blame for those people is the drive, the desire, the will.
Great answer. Okay. We're going to move into protests now, specifically the Black Lives Matter protest.
Okay.
How do you feel about the Black Lives Matter protest?
I believe that, from my understanding of it, it is a very good cause. It's something that should have never had to happen, you know, realistically. You know, equality should have... The year is 2022, right? I can't find a good reason or excuse why there's not true equality. And I feel like that's what they're standing up for, and that's what they're pushing for, and that's what they want. I feel like, as with any protest, not just in New York, not just in America, but across the globe, there's always going to be that one group you know, that kind of stands off from the mainstream and makes it something that it's not. They pervert it. They pervert a good thing and turn it into something bad, something aggressive, something violent, and something that you could consider a terrorist organization, and gives the organization as a whole a bad name, puts them under a bad light because they're identifying to be part of something that they're not truly part of.
Agreed. Okay. Explain to me why you think these anti-racist protests erupted particularly strongly in New York City.
I'm unfortunately not well enough versed to be able to formulate an opinion on that one. I apologize.
No problem. What do you think makes protesting Black Americans and their non-Black allies angry about the conditions in the United States?
All right, so as far as what I think makes the protesting valid, right, what makes people angry, if you look at the statistics, right, the numbers in the jails, in the prison systems, the physical uses of force, the lethal uses of force, the brutality against Black Americans, I don't understand how you couldn't be upset.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree with that 100%. We're going to move on to the next question.
Okay.
Do you have any stories you are willing to share about your encounters that you've had with racism?
I can't think of too many stories, so I think I'm actually just going to take a pass on that one.
Okay. Have you had any negative encounters with the police?
No, I've not.
Have you learned about an experience of someone close to you that you didn't know before?
No, I've not.
Okay. How has your opinion of the NYPD changed over time?
When it comes to my opinion, what I hear word of mouth, what I see on the media, and then what I see in person, it clashes so often, each one of them with another. So I'm not really comfortable with giving an opinion on the NYPD.
Okay, no problem. Were you active in the protest at all in the, well, digitally or in person?
All right, could you repeat the last question, please?
Were you active in the protest digitally or in person over the last 2 years?
Not really, no.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on to COVID-19, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Again, you don't have to answer any questions that make you uncomfortable.
Okay.
How has your life changed financially since COVID-19?
It really wasn't impacted financially at all, fortunately. For myself or for my parents.
Okay. How were the working conditions at your workplace before COVID?
Being a stay-at-home caregiver, I really didn't have any changes in interactions.
Okay. All right. So it's pretty smooth.
Absolutely.
How has your workplace shifted since March 2020?
It's not really shifted at all.
Oh, okay. Has your life changed personally since COVID-19?
I personally had COVID a handful of times, but as far as any real life changes, no, not really.
Okay, and how did that affect your parents while you were taking care of them?
Well, unfortunately, my father did, catch COVID. But fortunately, he was able to be he was able to be taken care of with the medical care that is available for it. And he came out through it strong. He did great.
Great to hear, and I'm glad that you guys are better.
Thank you.
Are there any new hobbies you've taken up?
Nah, I my hobbies have all pretty much always stayed the same.
How have your, excuse me, sorry. How have your relationships changed with your friends?
During the pandemic, when it first, started out and throughout this midsection that I feel like we've passed. I feel like we're finally starting to go into a state of recovery, personally. But I would say that there was a lot less personal or in-person interaction. A lot more was done virtually through web calls, through like Skype and through Google, and a lot more telephonic communication. But other than that, the communication was able to be maintained at a fairly consistent degree.
All right, and relationships with your neighbors and family?
Not really any change there. I mean, as I was saying, the biggest change was just in method of communication.
Understood. Okay. How has COVID-19 impacted your health and the health of your family?
General health-wise, after pulling through COVID, it's been pretty good. The long recovery, a lot of lingering symptoms, but at the end of the day, fairly well.
Okay, sounds wonderful. What, if any, what were the benefits to your life from a year in quarantine?
Honestly, learning how to go back to the basics of being a human being was probably the biggest benefit. And by that, I mean, we live in such a digital age now where everything is all readily available at the touch of your fingertips. It's not hard to get lost in social media scrolling through your phone. It's not hard to get lost in YouTube watching videos. But I feel like we've forgotten how to be human to an extent, basic one-on-one communication within the household. So the time in quarantine was spent more or less just learning how to have a face-to-face conversation, all over again. It's not a trait that you forget how to utilize, but it is something that if you're not careful, it will slip away to a degenerative point where it's almost awkward to talk to a loved one face to face. So I feel like that year helped out a lot.
And that leads into my next question. Is there anything that you learned about yourself or your family?
Absolutely, absolutely. As I just mentioned, just basic human communication, basic human 101, it's definitely strengthened and reinforced it for me.
Right. Very exciting to hear. We're gonna wrap this up now. Is there anything I should have asked or you'd like to add?
No, actually, I'd say overall that is a very well put together questionnaire, really.
Okay, are you still comfortable making this oral history public?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, it was nice talking to you, Sean, and
Absolutely.
hopefully people will hear your story and be motivated to get out there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time as well. I really do appreciate it.
No problem. No problem at all. You have a wonderful night.
All right, and same to you.